Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com. Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common.
It was a tough week at WBUR last week because it was announced that WBUR would be cutting up to 14% of its staff through buyouts and layoffs in an attempt to reduce the station's expenses by $4 million. We're going to get right into it with WBUR investigative correspondent Todd Wallach, but stay tuned after our discussion for some news about The Common. So, Todd, about 2.5 months ago, WBUR CEO Margaret Lowe announced to everyone in the station that we were in trouble financially. Can you remind us of that announcement and what she told us back then?
Yeah, absolutely. So the CEO of WBUR, Margaret Lowe, has also been very public about it with listeners that we suffered a huge downturn in our on-air sponsorships, also known as underwriting. Mm-hmm. It fell 40% over the past 5 years, and that is a huge source of revenue. So we had to find a way to make up for it, and that turns out to be cuts. You know, CEO Margaret Lowe said the station has to make $4 million in cuts for next year because of everything going on in this media landscape.
Our job is to put WBUR on a sustainable footing, and sometimes you have to really make very hard decisions in order to secure the future of an organization.
Just so the listener can understand, because, you know, sometimes even I hear the term underwriting, and I'm not fully sure what it is. So can you just explain what underwriting is specifically?
Yeah, it's basically a public radio term for advertising.
Got it. Okay.
So we don't have traditional commercials exactly like you hear on commercial radio, but you do hear messages for stations, messages for companies and other organizations that sponsor our coverage. And whenever you hear those shout outs, that's called underwriting, and it's a key source of revenue. I think it was a quarter of our revenue last year.
Mm. Thank you for that. And this shortage in revenue, this is an industry-wide thing.
Absolutely. So this has been a problem across public radio. There's been one announcement after another from stations that they need to cut jobs because of a decline in revenue. That includes stations in Chicago, in Colorado, in Washington, D.C. Just last week, KQED, a powerhouse public radio and television station in San Francisco, announced that it is doing buyouts and may have to do layoffs. Mm. Our friends at GBH across town have indicated that they're also suffering from financial headwinds and haven't ruled out layoffs either.
One big question I've had in this is, people have seen this coming.
Well, absolutely.
How did it get to where we are today, to where not only WBUR is losing people, but several stations are losing people?
Well, it's a combination of both long-term and short-term trends. If you think about the short-term, we went through a little something called the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that has changed a lot of people's habits. Fewer people are commuting in the car, where a lot of people listen to live radio. Interest rates have gone up, inflation's gone up, and a lot of companies have rethought the way that they spend money on advertising. Those are some of the short-term, immediate impacts, but they're also longer-term trends. And fewer people are listening to live radio because of the rise of the internet, and people have more choices, and they can stream, and they can listen to podcasts like this. Mm-hmm. But they're a bazillion podcasts. Anybody can be a podcaster. Anybody can create a website. And you also have so much competition online from social media sites like Facebook and X, TikTok, and even search engines like Google, where they're not paying reporters to produce content. They're scooping up information posted by average people or websites and serving ads along with that. And that's created just so much competition. You know, years ago, it used to be that companies who wanted to advertise only had a handful of places to go to in each town.
Yeah.
They could go to a few local radio and TV stations. They could go to a few newspapers. You used to have to buy newspapers just to find out about jobs you wanted to apply for. Now all that stuff is online. So there's more and more competition for advertising.
I mean, what does the future look like?
Well, one thing that has been strong is that we still have a lot of support from individuals who still listen to us, whether it's still on the traditional radio or now online or on their apps on their phone. And we've gotten a lot of support. In the spring fundraiser, I think we got double the support during that season compared to last year. So we're getting a lot of support from average people and other organizations who want to support our journalism. It's just we don't have quite the range of advertising and sponsorships that we once had. WBUR and other stations are also looking for other ways to try to raise revenue. WBUR is investing a lot of money in marketing and trying to better track our supporters to try to improve fundraising. They're trying new initiatives like an effort to create a membership program for a new podcast that's been popular, letting people pay to hear episodes a little bit earlier or get bonus episodes.
You're talking about Beyond All Repair.
Yeah, and Beyond All Repair has been a real bright spot for the station.
Shout out to Anne-Marie Severson.
Beyond All Repair has been one of the hottest podcasts in the country. And the Beyond All Repair producers are trying new ways to raise money based on that.
I want to take a break here, but when we get back, I want to know what took place in the negotiations between WBUR and the WBUR union SAG-AFTRA. We'll be right back.
Bandit and Chili are coming to a theatre near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mum, Dad's playing with us.
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR investigative correspondent Todd Wallach. So, before we continue here, Todd, for transparency, I want to note that we are both members of our station's union, which is a chapter of SAG-AFTRA. The producer of today's show, Franny Monahan, is also a union steward. And our union tried to work with management through this process to help save jobs. Can you tell us about that process and what came of it?
Sure. I wasn't part of the negotiations, but I spoke with Amelia Mason, who's a reporter here and also a union steward. She mentioned the fact that WBUR offered buyouts significantly reduced the number of layoffs that were needed.
And that was something that the union advocated for, and management listened.
On the other hand, the union also suggested a number of other alternatives, like furloughs or postponing pay raises, to try to avoid layoffs altogether. And that wasn't something the organization was willing to do.
Those would save money for the here and now, but we need to reduce the size of the budget for the organization overall for the long term.
And that was CEO Margaret Lowe.
I want to go back to that number of 14% of our staff. What changes can listeners expect to hear in the coming weeks?
So 24 people applied for buyouts, and another 7 people have been told they're going to be laid off.
Mm-hmm.
The actual number might well be smaller than that because people still have several days to change their minds about whether they're going to take buyouts. And the station's trying to find new jobs within the station for many of the people who've been told they'll be laid off. But there's no question the station's going to be smaller. We're going to have fewer staff. And the station says that they have to do fewer things. One of those is that they're going to start wrapping up some of the local news updates earlier in the evening and cut back on that on the weekend. The organization's also looking for a ton of ways to reduce expenses. That includes cutting the amount they spend on cell phones, just a million little ways to save money.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no question there are going to be fewer people, and so we're going to have to do fewer things.
What is the station planning for the future so that we are not here in another 4 years? Because WBUR went through this in 2020, and now they're going through it again. What is the plan so that 2028, we're nowhere near these circumstances?
It's a good question because we're running a deficit right now. We lost close to $6 million last fiscal year. And the station has also been upfront about the fact that these cuts will help save about $4 million, but that won't completely eliminate the deficit. We're still going into next year losing money, and the station hopes that we can work together to raise more money from listeners and find other ways to raise more money so that we eventually are back in the black again and break even. But there are a number of people who are worried about the fact there could be further cuts. Amelia Mason's one of the people who mentioned that.
I would be surprised if that were the plan. I don't think that management relishes having to lay people off, but we had layoffs in 2020, and 4 years later, we're having another round. And so, yes, we were concerned that this could happen again.
And we talked a lot about all the challenges that public radio faces, but it's not unique to public radio. I spent most of my career in newspapers, including the Boston Globe and the San Francisco Chronicle, and they're all much smaller organizations than they were when I was first hired. And I went through several rounds where I saw my colleagues leave. A lot of journalists have been losing their jobs, unfortunately, in this new landscape where we face competition from the internet and Craigslist and a million podcasts and blogs. It is a very tough environment. And I think that news organizations are all doing the best they can to continue doing their job of serving readers and listeners and also trying to make the business work and make money. I talked a little bit about that with Mike Jansen at Current, which covers public media. One factor is that people know that public media receives government dollars, but it's only a small portion of our revenue. For WBUR, for instance, it's 3%.
This happening has made me think about the model we have for funding public broadcasting in our country and how it compares to other countries where they get much more government support.
So he's certainly wondering whether government should step up its game and provide more support. In New York, the state just agreed to provide more money to all sorts of news organizations to help fund local journalism jobs. So that's certainly something that some people around the country are thinking about.
Todd, thank you so much for this story and for coming through to talk to us about it.
Thanks for having me on. I know this is a really hard topic to talk about. It's really hard for me to cover all the changes going on and see colleagues go out the door. But it's really important that we talk about what's going on with our listeners and let them know, because we really depend on them, and we wouldn't be here at all without them.
Agreed. That's WBUR investigative correspondent Todd Wallach. And special thanks to WBUR editor Beth Healy for her help in editing this episode. All right, to close out, listeners, I just want to talk to you for a second. I want to address some changes coming to the Common. As part of the station's cuts, two regular staff members of the Common were let go, producer Caitlin Harrop and sound designer Matt Reed. It goes without saying that we are heartbroken to be losing our teammates. The show will not be the same without them. So to accommodate this new reality, the show will also be changing. In the next few weeks, The Common will be transitioning to a once-a-week show instead of 5 days. We don't know yet what that will look like, but please know that we are committed to bringing you the best show we possibly can. And we will provide more updates on those changes as soon as possible. We really, really, really hope you keep listening. So that's all I have to say. And as always, folks, if you want to hit us up, head on over to Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.